Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we have an update on Juju Smith-Schuster's status after he played in the Pro Bowl and got hurt early in that football game. Looked like he suffered a knee injury, potentially even could have been a bad knee injury. Ends up not being that bad. We'll talk about his injury today. We'll also update you on the Antonio Brown situation. Seemed to take a bit of a turn for the worst over the weekend with AB posting some photoshops again of himself in a 49ers jersey. We have an update from Ian Rapoport as to his status and the Steelers' thoughts on AB's future on the team. Keith Butler is taking over as the outside linebacker coach as expected, so he will have double duty in 2019 as the defensive coordinator and outside linebacker coach. We'll talk about that today, and we'll also talk about the players the Steelers met at the Senior Bowl, players the Steelers could be interested in come April in the NFL draft. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get your daily dose. Although, I guess this week I'm starting on a Wednesday, so maybe not a daily dose this week. I apologize for that, but we'll be back to a daily schedule coming up on Monday. Follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that like button. Also, make sure you join the Facebook group. A lot happening in that Facebook group. And you can also find us now on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start with Juju at the Pro Bowl. So there were a lot of Steelers represented at the Pro Bowl. It was a rainy day in Orlando. I went to the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. I'm in Orlando, so I went to the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. The first year it was in Orlando. You know, the Pro Bowl, it's without a doubt the worst All-Star game that any sport, in any sport, right? Because it kind of doesn't make sense. Football is such an inherently violent sport that having an exhibition All-Star game, you know, where players are playing at half speed and, you know, the rules are so weird you can't blitz and, you know, I mean, it's just a very silly game in general. But then you add in the elements like that, like with the rain on Sunday, and it's just, you know, why are we even playing this game? I understand why. It's money, and the NFL is clearly making money from this game. 8 million people watch the Pro Bowl. 8 million people, and I'm going to be honest, my girlfriend had the game on. Did I watch the Pro Bowl? I mean, I saw the score at times. I wasn't glued to the TV, but it was on in my house, so I guess I contributed to that 8 million number. The big news coming out of the Pro Bowl, for Steeler fans anyway, was, of course, the news that Juju Smith-Schuster went down with an injury. Looked like he hurt his knee. Juju's had some knee injuries in the past. And so, you know, he had that nagging knee injury that he talked about in minicamp and OTAs last year. So, you know, knee injuries have been a problem for Juju. So watching him go down with a knee injury at the Pro Bowl, definitely concerning for us Steeler fans. It turns out it's fine. It's just a knee contusion. This will not keep him out of any sort of minicamp or OTAs or anything like that. This injury won't. Now, you know, if he elects to have some sort of offseason surgery or whatnot, obviously that could affect his status, but this injury in particular ends up being a minor one, and thank goodness, because in a season for Steeler fans that has been about as dumb as you could possibly imagine, given all the different things that have happened with this team, both on the field and off, the last thing this team needs is its youngest star, in Juju, getting hurt in an exhibition game in the Pro Bowl. So thankful that Juju avoided serious injury at the Pro Bowl. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site, it's so easy to use. I've used them all year. Love MyBookie. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. If you join now, they're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar. Just use the promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's move on to the Antonio Brown situation. Last week when we talked about AB, it was mostly about his teammates, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, and Marquise Pouncey coming out and saying, look, they want him back. They're leaving the door open for Antonio Brown to return to this team. And as I said last week, that's a huge step in this whole process, right? That the teammate, the leaders on this team are willing to have him back in some way and mend this relationship and get Antonio Brown to have trust in that locker room again. I think for me, that was always the biggest question, is how are the players going to trust Antonio Brown after he left them late in the year? So I thought that was a big step, and you could start to open the door again about of Antonio Brown being a Steeler again in 2019. Then over the weekend, he tweeted his obsession with Jerry Rice is very strange. But, you know, look, Jerry Rice, one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver of all time. And so, you know, Antonio Brown wants to be on that level, whatever. But he's got this weird obsession with going to the 49ers and, you know, talking to Jerry Rice and whatnot. He photoshopped, or he posted a photoshop of himself in a 49ers jersey again. So everything about, you know, leaving the door open for AB to be on the Steelers, and AB is leaving the door open to be on the 49ers. Here's what Ian Rapoport had to say this weekend about where things stand right now between Antonio Brown and the Steelers.
My understanding is, despite the fact that Antonio Brown's preferred option would be for a fresh start from the Steelers, they have not yet granted any permission for AB or for his agent Drew Rosenhaus to go out and seek a trade. This is all on the team right there, depending on what they want to do. They are expected to listen to offers, may actually seek out some offers as well, but they are taking it to themselves, not giving Antonio Brown a chance to weigh in right now. Meanwhile, AB has also maintained a steady dialogue with members of the Steelers organization, not Coach Mike Tomlin, but a couple people he is close with, just making sure that he keeps it professional and keeping the door open for a possible return if a trade does not pan out.
Yeah, just making sure he keeps it professional by ignoring the phone calls of the owner of the team, the head coach of the team. You know how it is. Got to keep it professional. Only talk to the players or people inside the organization that you're close with and ignore every other call. Yeah, very professional. Very professional of Antonio Brown. Look, this situation is so stupid at this point. You know, when it seems like as soon as we get anywhere closer to AB potentially mending fences here and you know, his return in 2019, and then, you know, you have stupid things like posting a photo of yourself in a 49ers jersey. You know, it's these kind of things where, you know, you think about them. When was the last time a player posted a Photoshop of himself on another team and then went on to play for that team next year, and that team went on to win a Super Bowl, and it was all hunky-dory between those two sides? It doesn't happen, right? I mean, this situation doesn't have a happy ending between Antonio Brown and the Steelers. It just doesn't seem like Antonio Brown wants it that way. And so while Ian Rapoport may say there that, oh, you know, he's trying to keep it professional and, you know, preparing for a potential return, what kind of return is going to happen after AB at every moment, especially when things start to look good, you know, goes out again and starts to insult his own team by daydreaming about being on other teams? That's where we are with this situation. How does this look? I get that Cam Hayward wants him back and Maurkice Pouncey is willing to have him back. And those guys want to win football games, and having Antonio Brown on this team is the easiest way to win football games. But the problem is, AB doesn't seem to want to be on this team anymore. And if that's the case, then he's got to go. Now, I'm not surprised to see that, you know, the Steelers aren't just telling Drew Rosenhaus and AB, find a trade partner and you're out of here. They want to keep this. Of course, they want to keep this in-house. They want to get the best offer that they possibly can. And the way to do that is to negotiate that in-house, not via AB just going out and trying to find whatever deal he can. The Steelers need to get a pick and a player. They need to get multiple things here. If we're talking about getting a second-round pick for Antonio Brown, that's just not good enough. That's just not good enough for the Steelers. They at least need a first-round pick, and they likely need a first-round pick and a player that can make an impact in some way defensively, as I've said before. So, look, you know, this is going to develop over the next month and a half now. We're about 45 days away from this situation coming to a head. I think if the Steelers are going to trade Antonio Brown, they're likely going to want to do so before that roster bonus hits, and that's right around March 15th, March 16th. So, if the Steelers are going to make a deal here, it's going to happen in the next month and a half. So expect this to all accelerate in that time. We finally have some clarity as to who will take over for Joey Porter as the outside linebacker coach, and it will be defensive coordinator Keith Butler, who will pull double duty in 2019, being both defensive coordinator and linebacker coach, kind of similar to the way the Steelers are handling the offensive side with Randy Feigner, being both quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. Now, Feigner kind of started that way, right? He was quarterback coach, promoted to offensive coordinator, and just they elected not to replace him at quarterback coach. He pulls double duty there. This is Butler, though, kind of reverting to being a linebacker coach, whereas Joey Porter had taken over that role in recent years. For me, this is not a terrible move. I don't dislike this move from the Steelers. I don't like Keith Butler as a defensive coordinator, but there's no denying the job he did as linebacker coach for the 12 years he was the linebacker coach here in Pittsburgh. Now, he didn't just coach the outside linebackers. He coached all the linebackers, inside and outside. And during his tenure, 2003 to 2014, this was still the linebacker factory that we remember. Joey Porter, Clark Hagans when he started, and then he brings in guys like James Ferrier, Lawrence Timmons, Lamar Woodley, James Harrison, and the job he did developing those guys, Larry Foote even, you know, the job he did developing those guys in the units that they had in 2005 and 2008, the years that they won the Super Bowl, the outside linebackers in particular, really the whole linebacking core, was so instrumental in those teams being as good as they were, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And so, you know, look, I don't dislike Keith Butler as an outside linebacker coach, right? My dislike for Keith Butler is as a defensive coordinator and the job he's done. This defense has kind of been stuck in the mud over the past couple years, or even moving in the wrong direction in some ways. And I think that's the problem I have with Keith Butler. I think his job as a linebacker coach, though, is where he's probably suited best. And so, you know, I don't mind him being moved to outside linebacker coach. You know, the only question would be here is this going to take away in some way from his job as a defensive coordinator? But look, he's in the last year of his deal. I think we're all expecting that this will probably be the last year of Keith Butler on this team. And so, you know, whoever is going to be the new defensive coordinator next year will likely clean house as far as the staff is concerned and bring in a whole new set of coaches anyway. And so no reason for the Steelers to bring in another guy at outside linebacker coach, give him a contract, and then have to, you know, again, have to release him. The Steelers don't want to be cutting or firing coaches at this point. They much prefer letting those contracts expire. And I think that also plays a role in this decision. So Keith Butler will be the outside linebacker coach in 2019. And then let's finish up today with a report from WalterFootball.com about some of the players the Steelers were interested in at the Senior Bowl. We'll start with Isaiah Bugs, the defensive tackle from Alabama. An interesting prospect because, you know, first of all, he's from Alabama, and the Steelers have some Alabama on that coaching staff. Carl Dunbar, the defensive line coach, was the defensive line coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide a couple years ago. And I think that's why the Steelers brought in Josh Frazier last year in the seventh round of the draft. You know, Josh Frazier, not a very productive player at Alabama, and he was kind of buried on the depth chart. But because Carl Dunbar knew what Josh Frazier was doing, at least on the practice field, the Steelers, you know, took a flyer on him in the seventh round and tried that out. It didn't work out. You know, he didn't last much longer than training camp. But, you know, the Steelers at least gave it a shot there. Will the Steelers do the same with Isaiah Bugs? Look, here's what I'll say about Isaiah Bugs. First of all, defensive tackle, interior pass rusher, 9.5 sacks in 2018. That's becoming such an important position. And as I've said, I think the Steelers could use another rotational guy there. You know, could Bugs be a late-round pick? I wouldn't be surprised, especially given the Alabama connection there between Dunbar and Bugs. So look for Bugs to be a player as we move on here that the Steelers could potentially be interested in. The Steelers also took an interest in John Kaminsky, a defensive end from the University of Charleston, a very sleeper prospect at the Senior Bowl, a very, very small school prospect. Don't know a lot about Kaminsky. I don't think a lot of people do. Again, he played at the University of Charleston. But this will be another late round pick, a pass rushing type, if the Steelers are interested in him. And then the most interesting prospect that the Steelers took some interest in is Amani Oruwariye. And hopefully I pronounced that correctly. If not, congratulations to Amani. You are the first, but certainly not the last player who I will pronounce incorrectly in 2019. He's a big body corner. He's a 6'1", 203. Certainly the kind of the body type that the Steelers usually go for in an outside corner. Now we'll see how he tests in the 40 and all that. Again, the Steelers like to get, you know, both the size, but then also the athletic traits. That's usually the first thing that they look for in these secondary players. It's what they look for in when they got Artie Burns, and then Terrell Edmonds a year ago. So, you know, look, right now, he's projected more as a day two type of pick. He's not among the elites at the corner position, probably that tier two of corner. And as I've said, this class kind of falls off. And so, If we see guys like DeAndre Baker, Byron Murphy, Greedy Williams go early in this draft, and I expect that they will go, all three of those players will go in the first round, then, you know, potentially this guy could be a second round pick for the Steelers, or kind of a consolation prize in the second round if the Steelers elect to go linebacker in the first round, like I think a lot of us expect them to. So keep an eye on him. Again, it's Amani Oruwariye. I'm going to have a terrible time pronouncing that all year, especially I kind of hope the Steelers don't draft this guy. I just don't have to say that 12 times on the podcast every day. But again, as I said, a big body corner, the type that the Steelers usually go for. So no surprise. First of all, no surprise that the Steelers are eyeing cornerbacks this year. It's an obvious need for this team. And I think, you know, not only are they going to be looking to get one in the draft. But as I've said, I think they have to look to get one in free agency as well. The easiest way is to re-sign Cody Sensabaugh. But if Sensabaugh doesn't want to re-sign, then they're going to have to go out in free agency and get another starting caliber corner just in case they can't get that guy in the NFL draft. So again, the three players the Steelers met with reportedly at the Pro Bowl were defensive tackle Isaiah Bugs from Alabama, kind of an interior rusher. I think that's going to be an important position for the Steelers to upgrade this year. I'm excited to see the Steelers are targeting that this early in the process. John Kaminsky, a defensive end from the University of Charleston, a very small school guy, potentially late round pick, even an undrafted free agent. And then you have Amani Oruwariye, the cornerback out of Penn State. As I said, big body. We'll see how he does in those athletic drills. That's going to be very important for him if he does have a future with the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry.